When you're talking about the church, none of you believe that the church is a building. As you read the Bible, you could easily find several metaphors that are used for the church. The first, the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of church, have the church, and we are his body. And Christ Jesus is our shepherd, and we are his flock. The church is the flock that is shepherded by Christ. And church is the bride of Christ. And the church is one family in Christ. We relate to one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. And we are the temple of God. Paul says we are the temple of God. It means that God dwells in us, not in a building. What all of the biblical metaphors have in common is that they are not a place we go to, but rather a people who we are. So you do not go to their body, you know. You either are the part of the body or you are not. Likewise, family is not something you go to. It's something who you are. In the Bible, there are no pleas for people to go to church. The plea is for non-believers to become the church. We know well, I think we have a good understanding of such a church. And thankfully, we have been listening to sermon about the new community through the Pastor Curtis for the past 3 weeks. Today, I'm going to talk about this new community again. I believe this is an important thing for us as a church to learn and teach continuously and repeatedly with a clear identity of who we are. It is important to understand and know the church properly. But the question is the church really like that today, as much as we know and understand it? Are we really living out on the earth like the church the Bible tells us about? I'm going to tell you about an issue that happened at one of the mega churches in Korea about 10 years ago. This church is a huge church with nearly 100,000 registered members. The church now has branches all over the world and is one of the most influential churches not only in Korea, but also in other countries. This church has once served as a role model for successful churches in Korea. In particular, it was a church that played a big role in the growth of the Korean church by establishing a model for layman training and discipleship training. So in 2009, it was difficult to keep up with the increasing number of members attending the service. So the church decided to purchase the surrounding land and expand their church building. This process was not simple. This has become a big issue, not only in Christianity, but also in Korean society. The process was an issue, but the church building itself was a bigger issue. It is a really huge building. The church was found to have illegally expanded the building, and there was constant noise from nearby merchants and residents in the process. It caused illegal road occupation, obstruction of local traffic flow, disputes with surrounding merchants, legal battles with various social groups, politicians' intervention, opposition within Korean churches, and even division among members within the church itself. The issue of political collusion with the church will not just be a matter of that church. It is now very common for politicians to visit churches during election season. This was an issue that clearly showed the problems of mega churches in Korea. Was it really necessary for the church to build a gigantic, literally giant building while making such a social problem? Unfortunately, the role models of successful churches today, or the strength and influence of churches, have come to the point where it is determined by the number of attendees, financial capacity, and the size of the church building. Unfortunately, people view the church as a selfish group. Church and political connections add to social divisions more. It goes against God's will. These things frustrate faithful Christians who preach the gospel purely and struggle fiercely in the field of ministry and their life. The same goes for the inner side of the church. Christian contents flow out every day, such as numerous worship videos, sermons by famous preachers, and podcasts. We can watch worship videos live anytime, anywhere, on a small screen on our hands. Watching the worship video on a splendid stage, it's like a rock concert. Perhaps your spiritual sensibilities are being manipulated by the videos on our small screen. The market for Christian music and content has already become huge. It feels like these contents are an essential element of God's presence. I'm not saying everything is wrong, but how is the church reflected in the world? What does the church look like in today's world? What is the church working for today? The early church fought to keep their faith and truth and realize the gospel in the midst of hardship and persecution. They were the protagonists who changed the world. The world saw who the true God was through them. The author of Hebrews said they were people the world could not afford. I'm sorry. The beliefs and values that they risked their lives to protect were passed on to the world as they were. They had never had a huge building or any financial power. There was no need for that. First century Christians clearly did not experience the need for a special church building. No political power was used. They loved each other and even loved those who persecuted them. They were small, but the few followers of Jesus had the power of love to change the world. And their love spread throughout the world. It crossed the border. It crossed the border of Jerusalem and reached Judah and Samaria and the ends of the earth with love. All boundaries have been broken. Beyond race, country, culture, and class. Now, what do you see? Let's look at Jesus. The world was changed not because Jesus was in splendid position like a worldly king. Rather, the world could see him as the true God, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Because he came to the lowest place in the world with humility and love. Because he showed the greatness of love by dying on the cross. The world can see him as a savior. Today, the church has been building power because it is to influence the world, such as collusion with worldly power, sufficient finances, and manpower, but the power to change the world is not worldly power and money. These have no power to change the world. Rather, they only destroy the church and make the world unhappy. What's wrong with the church? What is the problem? What is the Christianity and the church in the world that people really want to see? What does the world want to see through the church? I don't know how many of you know that I served in the military for several years in Korea. It's already been 25 years ago since I was discharged. 25 years ago. Time flies. Very fast. It was April 1997. At the time, I was a young man in my 20s. It's hard to explain about all of Korea's military culture, but like all of the military forces in the world, the military is a strictly class society where there is only command and obedience. I think the military these days has improved and changed in many ways, especially human rights. But at the time, the military was not only much stricter than now, but covert violence and pressure were also quite common. Before enlisting in the military, I had already heard about this military culture so many times through close seniors in college and acquaintances. Believe it or not, it was really hard to keep the faith and live as a Christian in the military. Easily think of Christians in the Roman Empire, kind of that. So unfortunately, what I was worried about happened not long after I enlisted in the military. In the military, they often have parties to cheer up the soldiers. The party was all about drinking. I was very uncomfortable with this because no one refused to drink. My superiors forced me to drink. It was unfair, but it was a command. It was a command. I held a glass in my hand, and I was thinking, because future military life depended on this one glass, you know. To drink and make my military life go smoothly, or to refuse to drink and ruin the party in order to keep my faith, to be or not to be. FYI, there are strict aspects of a Christian ethic in Korea, among which smoking and drinking are representative. Many Christians struggle with this issue at their workplace. Korea's work culture is unique. Drinking is forced in many workplaces. Even more so if it is a subordinate. What about the military? You know what I did? I refused. And I said this with confidence. I am a Christian, so I cannot accept this drink that you are giving me. Isn't that cool? Yes, cool. It's cool. So then I guess what happened, you guys. The scenario I expected was the belief that everything would be all right with God's help at this moment. However, that belief was terribly shattered. The party was ruined. I was beaten up by my superior that day. Would I blame God? No. I was so happy being beaten. The relief that I had kept my faith made me happier. From that day on, I was free from the pressure to drink. No one forced me to drink. But after that day, my colleagues, even superiors who watched me, came to me and said, "I've been hiding that I'm Christian, but because of you, I have the confidence to say that I am a Christian too." Even after a while, the words that the superior who forced me to drink and hit me remain in my mind the most. He said, "People like you are real Christians. If people say I'm a Christian, they have to be like you. And I've never seen a real Christian like you around me." FYI, I was in the Navy, and the place where I served at the time was a small island in the West Sea of Korea. Usually, Korean troops are given time and place to freely engage in religious activities on Sundays, but any religious activities did not exist there. So that first thing I did was find the hidden Christians around me. Thankfully, since that happened, I was able to find the hidden Christians one by one. Then I suggested that we meet together, and the meeting soon became a small church. We met in the cafeteria on Sunday morning when everyone was resting. Sometimes it was an outdoor bench. Sometimes it was food pantry, a break room, and hallway. It didn't matter where we could gather. We worshiped together, shared our difficulties, comforted, encouraged each other, and sometimes shared food. At that meeting, there was a fellowship that transcended rank. I think it was the first church I planted. Later, The meeting gradually grew, and by the time I was discharged from the military, it was established as an official religious activity within the unit. Hallelujah. So what I realized is that people still have a special or different view of the church from the world. In other words, when people look at the church, Christians, they have an expectation that there will be something special that is different from the world. This is a good thing. I think at least we shouldn't turn away from that expectation. I believe the world still has expectations of the church. It is to believe that there is an expectation that the church has a higher value than the values that can be enjoyed and obtained in the world. Actually, it is. People in the world want to see and meet God through the church. Amen. Through Pastor Curtis, over the past 3 weeks, we have been convinced of what the church community means and what the identity and purpose of this community is. And we continue to make it more clear through the practice of the One Another movement. This is what we are supposed to do as a church. Can you imagine what this little movement will bring to us in the future? What makes the church different from any other group or community in the world? In fact, there are various groups of people and so many communities around us, not only the church. They are formed for certain purposes or motives. Some of them do even more good works than the church. The church is not the only one doing good work in the world. Many other religions emphasize the value of good deeds. And they too are caring for orphans and widows, healing the wounded, and helping the weak in society. Today, even the government is making an effort to support socially disadvantaged, regardless of religion, gender, or educational background. Perhaps the practice of a loving neighbor in the world is not something that only the church can do. What is the specialty of the church? I once shared this question with my small group. What is the difference between the church and the other groups that have a good influence in the world? So I have come to the conclusion that although the act of loving neighbors may be the same, the subject of the actions are different. The action itself is important, but more important than that is who the doers are. So Matthew chapter 18, 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." This verse comes from the context of how to deal with the problem of sin within the church. It's about church discipline. This is a statement confirming the strong authority of the church, that the decision of the church is the decision of God. Jesus says that when two or three gather in his name, he is with them. Here's the specialty of the church. The crucial difference is that we gather in the name of Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? And 18, verse 18 says, truly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Therefore, what the church is doing on this earth means that it represents what God is doing. John chapter 14, we read this morning, makes this even clearer. Jesus has promised to send us the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to dwell in us, be with us, and reveal Himself through us. Therefore, as the church, we are revealing the presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that? Filled with the Holy Spirit, we are the ongoing incarnation of God's presence on earth. The Christian faith is based on the claim that God appeared in Jesus, the historical human being, which is evident in the doctrine of the incarnation. Jesus is God Himself. Jesus acts on behalf of God. So when we worship Jesus, we worship God. When we know Jesus, we know God. When we hear the promise of Jesus, we hear the promise of God. And when we encounter Jesus, we are encountering God. Philip, one of the 12 disciples, asked Jesus, Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us. Jesus says to him, have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? God is an invisible God. But God does not exist conceptually in our imagination. God is real. He revealed Himself clearly to us through Jesus. God is the one who reveals His love in the concrete acts of the life and death of Jesus. The incarnation tells us that our God is concretely acting in love. The proclamation of the Bible that God loved the world and specifically sent His Son tells us that the true truth is not just an abstract principle, but concrete action. In other words, the incarnation of Christ declares His existence, saying God is not a distant being from humans, but the real God who came to us as a real person in the historical human Jesus. Christ once lived with us as human beings and is still with us through the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we, church, live in the world as Jesus. So we are not to be like Jesus. We are to be Jesus in the world. Do you believe that? So, would you guys say this to each other? Look at your neighbor and then say this way. You are a little Jesus in the world. You are the little Jesus. Amen. It is important that we personally become like Jesus, but Jesus goes farther and speaks of the gathering of 2, 3 or more. Paul tells us that the church is the body of Christ and we are part of His body. He says parts come together to form one body. The author of the Hebrews tells us to encourage each other by trying to meet together not by following the habits of some people who give up gathering. Paul says to the Corinthians church that you are the temple of God where the Holy Spirit dwells. People had to go to the temple to meet God. But now, we, the two or three people, are the temple. Why is it important for two or three people to get together? Think of a puzzle pieces. If you look at the pieces of the puzzle separately, it is difficult to know what the whole thing is. But if you put the pieces together, you can clearly see them as one picture. When you and I, the little Jesuses, gather together, Jesus will be revealed more clearly to the world. Do you believe that? Filled with the Holy Spirit, we do what Jesus did, and we do more than that. I'm so grateful for our small group gatherings every week, where we can reach out to our neighbors and communities and show them Jesus. So brothers and sisters, remember that this gathering is Jesus. You are Jesus. We are Jesus. And imagine what this small group might do together in the future. Amen.